Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal All right, we have the awesome privilege to be doing this interview with drummer Adam Jarvis of Misery Index, Pig Destroyer, Scour, and others. Adam, I've known you since your days in Central Illinois playing with All Will Fall, and it's great to see you doing so well. I know you're one busy guy, so thanks for taking the time out to talk with us here at Murder Metal Mayhem. I got my co-host Chris Shaw back here with me. How you been, man?
Fantastic. Very busy. This is actually the first weekend I've had free, and I don't think I'm even exaggerating. It's what, September 20th, 21st?
Wow.
I don't think I've had a free weekend since like the beginning of June.
Yeah, I know. I saw the schedule. It's been crazy.
Yeah. Touring, and, you know, just, you know, finally enjoying, you know, you go on tour and you see a city for a night and, you know, usually you're just gone and, you know, you might get to walk around a little bit while you're in town, but, you know, I've actually taken time recently to just hang out for a few days in different cities.
Awesome.
Or, you know, like this, I went over to Croatia with my girlfriend and
nice
her mother and sister, and, you know, actually got to see, you know, different parts of the world that I've never been to, so. Yeah.
You've been busy this summer touring Europe with Misery Index. How did that go, and what's the European scene like these days? Because I've seen videos of, like, obscene extremist shit, and it looks awesome as fuck. How was that?
Obscene Extreme this year was awesome as fuck. that's one of the standout festivals for sure in all of Europe, because it's just, they call it freak-friendly for a reason, and you just see craziest costumes. People, like, you'll have like a banana and a dude dressed up as a cow on stage doing stage dives while you're playing.
Yeah, that shit's so awesome. I love seeing that shit.
There's no barricade or anything, and this year Cannibal Corpse played, and you know, Corpse Grinder was all about it. You know, people were out getting up there and stage dive. Usually they're not fans of that, like, at all, but it's like, when in Rome, I mean, that festival's known for that, so it was cool to see them kind of just like lay back a little bit and just like have fun. And, you know, it's more punk rock kind of festival. And, but yeah, other than that, we did a few other, European festivals in the summer. Right after Rituals of Power came out in March, we did a headlining tour with, Wormrot from Singapore and, Lion's Daughter, actually from St. Louis. And another band, Truth Corroded, from down under in Australia.
Nice.
All bands and a super diverse package, and every band kind of brought their own thing to the table. And it's really cool just to have, like, you know, bands from just different corners of the world, you know, and we had a lot of hands-on, like, picking these bands and had a lot of fun with it. And it's nice to go out right when your record comes out as well, you know, just to kind of push it a little bit more. And
definitely. Hell yeah.
First time we did like a headlining tour in a while, and the turnouts were great, and we couldn't have been happier with, you know, every single show, basically every night, you know, when it's like a Monday and say you're in some city that you've never played in, and you're like, there's going to be like two people and a goat come out to the show. All of a sudden, doors open and the room's full. You're like, holy shit. Like, all right, I guess, you know.
This is fucking happening.
Yeah. And the summer tours are always fun, but it's filling in the gaps in between the festivals over the weekends. You know, because you kind of have like your anchor shows, like Obscene Extreme, for instance, or we did Roskilde Fest up in Denmark. And, you know, so in between, you just try to fill in the dates, and it's always, you never know who you're going to be playing with. And we did a show with this band Suppression from Richmond, Virginia, which was awesome. Why am I drawing a blank right now? Ryan Parrish, he plays in Iron Reagan now.
Iron Reagan's so awesome, dude.
But yeah, his other band, they're just like straight grind, like nasty, just 30-second songs or like 5-second songs, really spastic. Nice.
Fuck yeah.
So fans just didn't know what to do. They were watching, just like, what is this? And then another show, Napalm Death and Full of Hell, just a random show. In Munich, which was amazing. So yeah, it's always fun that time of the year, you know.
Yeah, that sounds killer, man. We get jealous here in the U.S. because we don't usually see stuff like that. But dude, that new Misery Index album you mentioned, Rituals of Power, is so fucking brutal. We've been playing it on the show, little pieces. And how has the media been digging it, and the fans as well?
I think we hit a home run with this one, because we wanted to. Well, first of all, I guess the songwriting first comes first, and then your production and stuff like that. But you know, we didn't intentionally scale back, but we kind of like just wanted to write like just heavier, groovier, you know, good driving kind of music. You know,
yeah.
More kind of back
it's
to
different.
The roots.
It's different. Yeah. I like that you slow it down a little bit. I mean, you guys are amazing players, and to me, I think it's kind of diverse when you can not just blast beat the whole time, you know what I mean, and mixing up the tempos. I mean, it's killer, man.
Yeah, and that was one of the main things. Like, there was, I guess that guy calls himself, like, Badger or whatever on YouTube. He did a review of our album, and a lot of people – still to this day, which it still kind of blows my mind, you know, given all the resources you have to go and listen to any freaking song in the world at a click of a button. But, you know, it's not like back in the day where you had to order a CD and wait 2 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
And then you get it and it sucks and then you're pissed. But
I remember that shit.
So, you know, it's like there was still people that were like, oh, I never listened to Misery Index before because I thought they sounded like Misery Signals. And it's like, it's good to have Misery. Like, if you did that with every band that had death or blood in the name, and you're like, oh, that they just sound like that other band, you know? And it's
exactly.
So a lot of people actually checked us out and they were like, holy shit, like, I'm gonna have to listen to this band some more. And you know, it's crazy that that's our sixth full length album. I think it's sixth or seventh, and still people are just checking us out for the first time, you know, and like actually even hearing of the band for the first time. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Hell yeah.
You know, you think that you just put your stuff out on a, you know, bigger label and it's in a magazine and people are talking about it on Blabbermouth or Lambgoat or whatever metal news site that people are going to know who you are, but it's just, you know, it still doesn't travel as fast as you think it should. You know, you still got to go out. You got to do the groundwork. You got to go out with different bands, you know, and just try and reach, you know, multiple outlets and
try and get it out there. That's fucking awesome, man. And so like, I've seen a lot of your videos on Sick Drummer. Those guys like follow you around because you come up in my newsfeed all the time, just killing your kit, dude. Like, how's that?
Yeah, I mean, when Ian, which that's my boy,
hell yeah,
he first got Sick Drummer going, I had talked to him. I'd literally sit on the phone and talk to that dude for like 2 or 3 hours. Like on a Friday night, I'd get a 12 pack and me and him would just like sit on the phone. Like we were just like hanging out and, you know, drink beer and bullshit. And he's a cool guy, man. And he's done a lot of great things and he's exposed a lot of amazing drummers all over the world that nobody would have ever found out about, you know, and a lot of those drummers have gone on to do bigger and better things just because of that media outlet that he has. And, you know, it's pretty amazing to see somebody do that. But another thing is like Jeff Grindstaffer was just in town for the Pig Destroyer shows that we did last weekend. And I've known that guy since the All Will Fall days. And, you know, it's just awesome that, you know, they have such a force behind them now that they got people in New York. They got, you know, Jeff travels all over the place to record bands. Like he just went to like, I think he just recorded Jay Weinberg from Slipknot and interviewed him, and like Ray Luzier from Korn, and you know,
he's just getting out there. Hell
so yeah. they're pretty awesome, and you know, I'm still glad that they give me the time of day to, you know, let me show the world how I beat the shit out of my drums.
Hell yeah. That's for sure. I know you just mentioned Pig Destroyer, and of course you also play with them, and I did see that you guys just played some East Coast shows, and I've been kind of laughing. We did a couple episodes where your name came up, and I gotta know, where did the band's name come from? I mean, is it like you guys hate pigs, or is it like a cop thing, or what is the band name mean?
Well, that was all JR and Scott back in the day.
Right.
From what I understand is they were literally like just trying to come up with an extremely offensive band name, but also something that like sticks with you. Like, I mean, I still go to this one. It's maybe the most offensive one that's ever been out, but Dying Fetus is like,
right. Yeah, they're sick.
You hear Dying Fetus and I don't care who you are. If you're a nun, you're going to remember that band name because you're like, oh my gosh, Dying Fetus.
Yeah, you right. Exactly.
So I think Scott said they were like just spitballing back and forth. And I think Scott said Cop Killer.
Ah.
And JR was like, what about Pig Destroyer?
Nice.
Perfect.
That's and cool. That makes more like, sense. I was like, what's the deal with that? And we were laughing about that name, and then cattle decapitation. Like, what's the deal with the hatred of animals, man? It's just funny.
Yeah. But it's funny because we played Three Floyds Festival up by Chicago, the brewery Three Floyds. They actually did a beer for Pig Destroyer called Permanent Funeral. It's ridiculous.
Shit.
If you live up by Chicago and you haven't gone to Three Floyds, then you're missing out.
But wow.
They do a festival every year, and there was like a bunch of cops backstage, and we got a picture with like seven or eight cops, you know, kind of like, you know, Pig Destroyer with a bunch.
That's great.
That's great,
but
dude.
It's not like we personally hate cops.
No, of course not. Of course not.
It's just more of that kind of shtick, and you know, it's like, you know, kind of a funny ha ha kind of thing, which
of course,
you know,
right.
Everybody takes everything too seriously these days, but that's not the intention of this one.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure.
So I seen your cousin John at Full Terror Assault a couple weeks ago. I'm just curious, have you ever played FTA? This is only my second year being there, and I'm not sure if you played there or not. Have you played FTA before?
Yeah, I think it was the first one. Yeah, I think it was the first one that he did. Misery Index played.
Oh, that's right. I remember Cashman telling me about that. That's right.
Yeah, Index played, and that was a sick year because it was like Internal Bleeding and actually Murder Construct, which I don't even know if they're even a band anymore, but that was like members of Cattle Decapitation and Danny Walker on drums, which is a sick fucking drummer.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, did that, and Fulgora also played. That's another project.
Oh, that's right.
Buddies back home, and actually Sparky from that used to be in Misery Index plays live guitar with that band.
You hoping to get back out there sometime?
What's that? Sorry.
Are you hoping to get back out there sometime soon?
Yeah. I mean, we've been, I know we got offered, I think it was maybe even for this year, but somebody was busy with something. You know, it's always hard to coordinate a one-off show nowadays for, especially for Misery Index, because Jason lives in Finland. He lives in Helsinki. And, you know, it's just not as easy as it used to be. Just like hop in a van or, you know, get on a 2-hour flight and play a show. Now there's like an international flight involved and stuff like that. So, but yeah, hopefully we get out there. You know, it's a cool spot, cool location. The BYOB part's amazing. And
yeah, definitely. I love that shit.
People just, you know, so.
Yeah, definitely, man. Now, I love to watch the metal musicians do the playthrough videos. And, of course, you've got some really good ones. Do you like doing those? Because I never did one, but they were kind of popular right as I was finishing up with Low 12. But what about doing those? And then I know music videos can be kind of grueling. They take a while. But what do you have to say about shooting video like that?
Well, I think it brings a different appreciation from people that wouldn't normally really care. For instance, like if they're a fan of your band and then there's just a regular music video where there's like a 1 second clip of the drummer hitting a crash cymbal. It's like, oh, whatever, you know, that's just a drummer back there. But when you actually break it down and like get behind the kit and watch a drummer, especially doing extreme metal drumming or, you know, any kind of drumming, I guess, it kind of opens your eyes a little bit more, like, oh wow, that's what
there's a lot into that,
like, holy shit, you know, you're basically like an athlete, you know. And
right,
people that come out to shows that are, you know, they'll literally be like, yeah man, I didn't even know of your band or anything, and I watched your drum playthrough video on sickdrummer.com or whoever posts it, and I had to come see it live, man, that's why I'm here, you know. So it's like, that's pretty much the purpose, you know. And
you're right.
Yeah, it's just drum nerds most of the time, but I guess you'll also bring in different people that wouldn't normally give a drum playthrough video the time of day, you know, unless they're like right. A metal fan and comes up in their feed on YouTube nowadays, you know, it's right. Just very select what you watch. And then it could be like 2 a.m. and that dude just smoked a joint and he's drunk. And all of a sudden, this drum playthrough video comes on. They're like, holy shit.
What the right. Fuck have I been missing?
What the fuck?
I might start playing drums because of that.
You right, know? Right. So, right.
Exactly. Well, speaking of drums, for our tech listeners out there, what kind of kit are you using on tour these days?
I'm still with D-Drum. I've been with them for years now. I'm using a all maple shell kit recently, and I got another kit that's made out of walnut, which sounds amazing. But I've been with them for years and they're awesome people over there. They're down in Florida, and I'm using Sabian cymbals. I've been using these Chachi Capito pedals. They're Polish.
Oh wow. And
they're like built like freaking tanks. Like all the Polish, you know, Inferno and, you know, all the Polish elite drummers are using them, of course. And
yeah, that's cool, though. How does that differ from your kit you use in studio? Or is it the same one?
It's usually the same one. I guess for Rituals of Power, I used Eric Rutan's kit that he has in his studio. Just sometimes you got to go with whatever sounds best or whatever's available. And he has a Pearl reference kit, which sounds freaking amazing. So I actually used that on the newest Misery Index recording. And I've been using this Ludwig snare. I've been calling it the secret weapon. So obviously I can't touch.
Of but, course not.
That was used on the new Misery Index, and it's just a freaking tank.
Drums sound fucking amazing.
Yeah,
man.
They do. They fucking sound fucking. Oh,
thank you. Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's what we wanted to do. I finally got to record with Eric Rutan, you know, and that was like, you know, for any drummer that is like
a goal.
I don't know. If that's the pinnacle. I don't know if you can get much higher than. So right? I was stoked to record with him. I've known Rutan for years. We toured with Hate Eternal quite a few times, and he's just an all-around amazing individual, and had a blast recording with him and hanging out afterwards. And he just, you know, dude's done a lot of cool shit, and he's, you know, became very successful, you know, doing what he loves to do, which a lot of people can't really say that they've been able to do that, you know. So he's definitely a role model and just an all-around awesome dude. So I'm glad I got to record with him, and the drums turned out killer, obviously. So
yeah,
shit, yeah.
Man,
what like new drummers or any drummers out there are you digging on right now that you're like watching yourself like checking out?
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a band called Yautja.
No.
No.
They're from Tennessee. So it's spelled Yautja, which basically means a gang of predators, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predator. Like,
okay. Oh, wow. You
know? All right.
So their drummer, Tyler, is just, he's fucking sick. I mean, he's probably one of the most unique and amazing drummers that I've seen play in I don't know how long. You should go check them out if you haven't listened to them. They're an amazing
Definitely
band. And another guy is Nick from Sumac. This band Sumac, which is Aaron Turner. He was in ISIS, the band ISIS.
Yeah, not ISIS. Right, I get it.
Yeah, got to clarify that these days.
Yeah, right.
But he's also in another... it's more thrashy and kind of punk band called Baptists, which is really good. And he was even mentioned by Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl was like talking about him in some interview that he did. And he's like, holy shit. But wow. Sumac is like, I've seen him play with Sumac a couple times, and he's just like, he's very like a Bonham approach, but he just beats the shit out of his drums. It's just unreal. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of killer players out there now. You know, it's hard to keep up. So I'm always fascinated. Like, we played with this band called Tomb Mold from they're up in Canada. I don't know exactly where, but we played with them in Toronto. And their drummer's doing vocals and, like, blasting and,
wow,
you know, beating the shit out of his drums while he's the main vocalist. He's the only one that does vocals.
So it's like, that's wow. Fucking crazy.
Yeah,
man.
That's fucking hardcore.
Now, I think it's great to see a metal drummer using two bass drums like you do. How do you compare as a drummer playing with two kick drums instead of the double pedal you see a lot of bands using?
I mean, I guess it looks more metal, of course. But
of course.
It's definitely, I've used two kick drums. I mean, even going back to the All Will Fall days, I was using two kick drums. And it's just, I've always felt that it's easier with your left foot to gain the speed, because sometimes you'll have lag with the, they call it the slave pedal off to the left, because there's like, you know, you got the whole drive shaft in between that's got to operate as well. So you're not getting as a direct hit.
Right.
But now there's certain pedals that, you know, they've evolved, and, you know, it's, you can definitely pull off whatever you need to do with a double pedal. But I think I've just become comfortable with it. And it kind of, you know, when I sit down behind my kit, you know, it's funny, whenever I'll use a backline kit, we'll fly, you know, wherever, like we're just in Denver, I'll get my kit set up and I'll sit down and be like, ah, looks like home, you know, because
yes,
I have,
sir. Yes, sir.
I know how it looks from behind my kit, and, you know, drummers are extremely meticulous and maybe,
oh,
in,
yeah,
a little OCD with their setup. I'm sure.
No way.
About.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, you know your settings, you know how you want your stuff, and you know what's going to make you feel comfortable, you know? So I guess that might have something to do with why I still use two kicks as well, you know, just because it feels and looks like my comfort zone, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a good time interviewing your cousin John recently. We talked about you guys being in Scour. What was your experience? What was it like jamming with Phil?
Phil's the man. Phil is, he's your badass uncle, you know? Come here, sit down, let me tell you a story. You know, that kind of.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking great.
He's a great dude. Him and his wife, Kate, you know, are just amazing people. And, you know, whenever you're at their house, you know, we're jamming, or, you know, even Full Goro recorded there. But that was before Scour and all that. But, you know, they just really make you feel like you're at home. And just, you know, Phil's such a cool dude. Like, sometimes you just kind of forget until he makes that, like, one weird look that you remember from, like, you know, a video that you saw when their Vulgar Display of Power just came out, and then you're right. Like, oh,
there he is.
Phil.
There he is. Yeah.
That's funny. Phil. Pass
that
the,
is the
can
man.
You pass the bread, Phil? And you have a moment like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I know you're originally from here where we are in central Illinois, and I know you're a busy guy. You probably don't get here much, but when you do, it's cool. You meet some friends and meet up with some friends and family, I'm sure. Try to catch up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's been since, unfortunately, I think, around the holidays last year. That's usually when I get back home. I usually go home every year for Christmas and, you know, usually maybe a tour will stop through St. Louis, but we haven't really toured. We did tour the States with Nails, but it only hit Chicago, unfortunately. So, but I actually had a layover because I was flying from Texas. I played with Pig Destroyer the night before, which is just another just craziness sometimes you got to deal with being in 75 bands.
Right.
So Austin, Texas, and I had a layover in St. Louis. So, like, my whole family came out because I had, like, an hour and a half layover.
Oh, wow.
And got to hang out with my family for about an hour and then, you know, just hopped on a plane up to Chicago real quick. But yeah, I love all the peeps in that area. And, you know, it's always good to get home and have a break, relax and catch up. And, you know,
it's pretty badass that back in the day you were part of Heavycore when you were with All Will Fall. Those are good days for the underground and the heavy metal scene, underground heavy metal scene. You got any thoughts on that from back in the day?
Man, that was like, that was some of the coolest times. And when we first traveled, you know, it was like, I believe low 12 as well. But unfortunately, you guys broke down and didn't make the show in Oklahoma City. I remember that.
Oh, I do remember that. And that's funny. You guys played that one. Yeah, that sucked. We lost a, it was our fuel filter. We had to drop the gas tank in a parking lot of a Super 8. And by the time we got it done, it was too late to make it there. So that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I remember that very vividly. I think it was the only show, if I can recall, in the 18 years we played where we missed it because of a mechanical issue. So not too bad of a track record, but that sucks. That was a cool venue.
Yeah, the Conservatory. But yeah, I remember even playing like Champagne going up to the old Canopy Club. I don't know if it's still there or not.
It's still around.
It is?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They don't do much metal, but you know, they have shows there, but mostly it's college kid type shit, you know, that sort of thing. I saw last podcast on the left did a live performance there in September. That was cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I seen Gwar. Yeah. I seen Gwar there a few years ago and it was pretty badass.
Yeah, I went up there and saw Morbid Angel and Suffocation years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
That was probably 2001 or something. But, yeah, I remember, you know, All Will Fall, just we were all nervous going out of town and playing, you know, we were out of our comfort zone. And I remember we played Champagne the one time with Alchemist.
Oh, yeah.
Old Judy Powder. And
oh, yeah. That whole crew. Yeah,
and we like were brought in as family just immediately. They were just like, "Holy shit, you young motherfuckers are badass!" Like, you know, we're like, "Whoa, sweet," you know. And we just like became friends with that whole like totally different scene. And that's when I realized. I remember, you know, even back then, I was like, "This is like something that I want to do. Like, I want to tour. I want to like." Just basically my goal was just to go around and just like share music that we wrote and just like try and blow as many minds as possible, you know? And that was, you know, you're hungry and you want it. And just like, that's the drive it takes. I guess you got to kind of have that mentality to do it. You know, it's
right.
So.
Yeah. Back in those days when I started Heavycore, it was a cool way to network before there was social media. Now with social media, it's less of a, you know, thing, and I haven't done Heavycore for years, but back then it was really a cool way to bands networking, and that was the whole concept was, you know, we knew that there were other bands like us out there, but they were kind of out there on their own with not much support, and so we kind of networked, and it worked really well. I was really happy those years we did it, but as the years went on, it became less relevant, and bands started going on MySpace, and then, of course, Facebook and Twitter and all that. It just, bands were able to do that sort of thing on their own.
Yeah, because, I mean, even back then, you needed that more than ever because, I mean, even to this day, like, I'm in another band. It's more kind of like a stonerish, like, rocking COC Crowbar meets, like, Mastodon kind of thing. Called Asbestal. And we just did a little short tour, and we're a very unknown band, you know. And even if you have the connection, like, you know, you can say the whole blah, blah, blah. Like, we got the guitar player from Integrity. And, you know, they could be like Drummer Pig Destroyer, Misery Index, whatever. But
right,
that doesn't go out like you would think. And you got to have that connection of another band in another city that's going to bring some people out, you know.
Right.
Because otherwise, I mean, if you're just whoever showing up, you know, in a city that's like 300-400 miles away, people aren't going to know who you are. And back then it was good to have that, you know, that camaraderie where people would want to, like, okay, we got this band from, like, Indianapolis. Like, let's show them a good time. Let's, you know, let's get the troops together and you just right. have a blast, you know. That
and, right. Now, speaking
yeah, what
of
you did was, you know, so it's you know, that's what you had. It's what you had to do in the underground.
Cool.
You know?
Well, thanks. I was very proud of Heavycore back in those days. Now, nowadays, you know, technology keeps changing and podcasts are a big thing. Are there any that you listen to? Because obviously you spend a lot of time on the road, but any certain ones you want to share with our listeners that you dig?
I always just... I don't listen to too many, but I always listen to, like, Stuff You Should Know and more, like, you know, I like true crime podcasts as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, more so, like, historical or just, like, oddities kind of podcasts and just weird stuff that's, like, when I just got to filter out, like, I don't want to listen to music right now. Cause that, you know, that'll happen on the road. And
oh,
when
I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Dude.
Night, you know, it's nice to just kind of sit in the car and it's a little more relaxing, I guess. But yeah, I need to catch up on my podcast game. I'll put that out there as well.
Yeah. Right on. Well, Adam, we want to fucking thank you fucking sincerely for doing this interview with us, man. Is there anything you want to add before we let you go?
Well, thanks for, you know, hitting me up and wanting to do this. And thanks to everybody out there that's checked out bands I've played in and will check out bands that I play in and, you know, keep the metal alive, you know, go out and see bands, go out to shows, buy a t-shirt from a band that you like, cause there could be 27,000 plays on Spotify, but the artist gets like 5 cents. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fucked up, and I get that. So I'm a full support. We're both, Chris and I, are both huge supporters of the underground. I think I employ a couple people at indiemerch.com because I buy so much shit from that website that I think I am contributing to the economy. But it's what the bands need because you're sure as fuck not making it on the streaming stuff. So.
Yeah, that's why I still do it to this day as well, man. I go to shows. If I like a band, I will buy the CD from them, the you know, LP, T-shirt, whatever, just to support. So, you know, that's what keeps it alive and keeps bands going. Otherwise, you know, you can't do it for free, unfortunately.
Well, that's right. Well, continued good luck, Adam, and keep on tearing that drum set up and horns high from your friends here at Murder Metal Mayhem.
Well, hell yeah. Good talking to you guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care, Adam. Thanks again.
Hell yeah. Thanks, bro.
All right. Cheers, man.
Mother. Man.